Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, my full review of last night's WWE Raw. The members are listening to my full-length audio review of the show. Plus, we have details on the cut that Kofi Kingston suffered on Raw, notes on Mick Foley going into the crowd while he wasn't appearing on camera during Raw, and Jake Barnett is going to have live coverage of SmackDown Live as the show airs on USA Network tonight. Coming up after the break for non-members, we will discuss the WWE Raw viewership numbers opposite the U.S. presidential debate. We'll look ahead to SmackDown and discuss the very murky future of TNA Impact Wrestling. Monday's WWE Raw averaged 2.478 million viewers, and this is according to ShowBuzzDaily.com. Viewership numbers down from last week's 2.684 million average. The first hour of Raw doing 2.85 million viewers. Hour 2 did 2.381 million. And the final hour of the show dropped all the way to 2.203 million viewers. Pro Football Talk is reporting that Monday Night Football drew a 5.7 overnight rating, and which was down 36% from last week's game. And of course, the low numbers for Raw and Monday Night Football can be attributed to the U.S. presidential debate, which drew more than 80 million viewers. And as I'm recording this, we just received a word that WWE Raw did a 1.75 rating. That will round up to a 1.8. It is the lowest rated edition of WWE Raw in history, it would appear. The previous low was 1.8. Now you start getting into rounding up and whatnot, and I don't know what the lowest rated show did before it was rounded. But it's right there. This is the lowest rated show in history. I mean, I'm not going to get into the sky is falling type of stuff here, obviously, because of the presidential debate doing those massive numbers. And by the way, it was 80.9 million viewers that they believe as far as overnight numbers are concerned, and those did not include PBS and another affiliate as well. So that number may actually end up going up for the Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump debate that took place. You knew it was going to be a bad week for Raw. We just didn't know how bad and whether it would manage to find a way to sneak below that 1.8 all-time low, but it would appear as though it has. WWE is advertising AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship for tonight's SmackDown. It's going to be interesting to see how that match plays out, given that they are building to the No Mercy main event triple threat with Styles defending against Ambrose and John Cena. I said last week I didn't expect a clean finish to the Ambrose and John Cena match, and we got one. I'm going to double down. I'm going to say we don't get a clean finish here, just because I can't imagine why you'd do a title change at this point, and I don't know why you would beat the challenger without some sort of one of the challengers, I should say, without some sort of interference or something along those lines. But looking forward to the show. SmackDown continues to be a very entertaining show, and I'll talk more about that as we work our way through. There are plenty of reports today about the status of TNA going forward. .NET members have been getting the scoop on this for the last few weeks in the .NET Weekly audio show. For instance, we told members last Friday that this was going to be a very critical week for the company, and that while Billy Corgan is negotiating to buy TNA, there's always a chance that he wouldn't put up the money to cover the upcoming tapings. And if that were to happen, who knows what that means? It could even mean the end of TNA Impact Wrestling. We also told members before the New York Post story came out that WWE and TNA had talked about the tape library. And this one thing that I don't believe the Post story included that we did was that these discussions took place very early in the year. And I was told February. I don't know if that's a precise timeline, but I know it happened earlier in the year. And I don't know where things stand today as far as WWE negotiating. There's certainly a lot of buzz that the tape library route may be the way to go. Keep in mind, in times like this, there's going to be a lot of posturing that takes place as well, as if there's two sides battling against one another, or if somebody's trying to drive up the price because they want to make more off the sale. So there's a lot of different ways to look at that, and it could just be, well, no, that's absolutely the fact. As I mentioned last week, I was told to stay very close to my computer because a well-placed source in TNA said that a lot could happen this week. We know that Billy Corgan wants the company, or at least has expressed that as recently as an interview that he did with the ESPN that ran on Monday. Aerolux apparently has interest in the company, even though they had a chance to buy the company, and they let the deadline date of September 1st come and go. Now, people on the Corgan side of things, not Billy himself, but just kind of people that I would identify as being in Camp Corgan, seem to believe that while Aerolux has talked about running the company, and that one of their plans is to hold, and I was told, just two tapings each year. So these big mass tapings, and the way it was described to me, or the way that they have apparently described it to people, is that they want to run it. Why can't it run like a movie where you have just these tapings like that, and it's just you're doing these mass tapings. Now, the Camp Corgan side seems to believe that Aerolux's primary goal is to drive the company into bankruptcy, and then they can turn around and collect the money that they are owed because they would be the top creditor. And hey, I'm sure Aerolux would probably tell a different version of the story, but that's kind of the viewpoint of the Corgan side of things. As one person on that I would identify, it's not anyone directly employed by Aerolux, but somebody that I kind of feel is in that mix. After talking about some of the plans that this person had heard they had, I brought up the whole scenario of, well, what about the idea of driving it into bankruptcy to get their money back? And the person kind of paused for a moment and then said, simply, they want their money. And so that may be one course of action for them. But again, a lot of things, there's going to be a lot said. There's going to be a lot of things said. There's going to be a lot of things done in a negotiating period, or even if that's what's happening. Bound for Glory is scheduled for Sunday. And I spoke with another person in the company today who said that he feels like there's a 75% chance that he's going to end up being at the pay-per-view. Not that he's thinking about skipping it, but just that he has no idea what's going to happen here. It Bound for Glory, he believes, is happening. There certainly, as I've reported, there are flights that have been purchased, but as far as the TV tapings go, this person far or less certain about that. If Billy Corgan funds these tapings, then they will happen. If he decides to end his pursuit of ownership for any reason, he could also pull the plug and say, I'm not funding something if I'm not going to own it. And that would mean no tapings, unless there's some other scenario that I'm just not aware of. It's, the last few tapings have come down to Billy Corgan agreeing to fund them, now they would not have happened had it not been for Billy Corgan, is what so many people in that company say. They are looking to tape television through the remainder of the year. That will get them at this next set of tapings if they happen, because that would get them through the end of 2016 as far as Impact Wrestling is concerned. So these would be TNA's final dates. If they get through the tapings, things may calm down. You may not hear much about this, but this is definitely a week to watch. And I gotta say, I like if the if word came out that yeah, there is a Bound for Glory, but there is not tape. There are not going to be tapings. I wonder how the talent would react to that. Now, some guys may and women just may be like, all right, well, I'll work Bound for Glory then and let this get sorted out. But if there's any inkling that yeah, this thing is going into bankruptcy, then if you're a wrestler, do you demand some money up front, some compensation? Because keep in mind that as of last week, a number of the TNA was behind on a number of talents, in some cases going back multiple months. And so it's if you feel you're not going to be paid anything for that time that you've already put in, and then you're working for free potentially again, you got to wonder how some talent will handle that. And I'm not saying that's the way it would happen. This thing could easily be sold to WWE. There's still a chance Corgan ends up with the company and everyone gets paid. Ideally, everyone ends up getting paid in this scenario, but we will see. Now, obviously, the hope of many within the company is that it's going to be sold, or the deal will at least be close enough that Billy Corgan agrees to fund the tapings again. And I know there have been, I kind of used the wording earlier, sky is falling type of moments in TNA's history where you just wonder, like, is this it? Are they going to find a way? And they have found a way to survive. This time, I assure you, it's as serious as it gets, to the point that no matter how it's spun, no matter how they spin this, if the tapings do go through, this is a very critical point. So if they end up happening, and there's a lot of "I told you so's" from the TNA side of things, just roll your eyes at it, as I will, because this is a there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now. I just say, stay tuned on this because it's definitely an interesting week. I mean, the latest I was told today is that, kind of looking at things, it just seems like this is a money pit right now with all the money that is owed, not just to talent, but a lot of business partners and things like that. And you just wonder as Billy Corgan continues to try to navigate his way through this and buy the company, is he finding more and more things that doesn't make this a smart investment? On his part, maybe he had a certain number he was willing to spend, and he's finding out, boy, this could cost more. Maybe they're setting this up and making it seem like doom and gloom so that Billy looks like the big white knight and buys the company and makes the big announcement to the talent or at Bound for Glory this weekend. I do want to tell you, if Bound for Glory happens, live coverage of that show on Sunday night at ProWrestling.net, and for that matter, live coverage of Ring of Honor's All-Star Extravaganza coming up. Now, Bound for Glory is Sunday night. I think I may have said Friday, but Bound for Glory on Sunday, Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza coming your way on Friday night. Live coverage of both of those, and .NET members will hear exclusive audio reviews of both shows. The members are currently listening to my full review of last night's Raw, my Q&A show from Monday, and the WWE Clash of Champions review that Jake Barnett and I spent about, 60-plus minutes just going through that show on Sunday night. You can join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net by visiting the main page and finding that sign-up area. Once you're in there, you're going to see three different pricing options. $7.50 will get you in the door for 1 month. If you want to commit to longer, there is a six-month option that will knock some of that price off. And then also, you can take the annual option. And if you do that, it brings the average price per month down to $5.50. So you're knocking off $2 a month by committing to the annual option at ProWrestling.net. And the .NET Weekly Audio Show, I'm sure we'll have more details on the TNA situation coming up later on this week. Normally what I would do at this point in the show is run through my WWE Raw hit list. There's a lot going on, and I got to be honest, I don't even really want to think much more about that Raw show last night. It was just nothing special, but I will direct you to my print version of the WWE Raw hit list, which can always be read at ProWrestling.net, of course. But I got to say, if I learned anything from Sunday and Monday, it's, number one, it's that the Vikings have a really good defense, but that's not wrestling related, and that was just pertaining to Monday, or to Sunday. But when it comes to wrestling, it's that 6 hours of Raw, and over that, because of the overrun for both the pay-per-view and the Raw television show, 6+ hours of the Raw brand right now in 2 nights is just way too much. As we talked about, the pay-per-view was solid as far as the in-ring work is concerned, but it just wasn't a dynamic show. And I know they were just kind of trying to get through Monday's Raw because of the strong opposition. But honestly, I mean, I just haven't seen anything from the Raw brand that makes me feel like, had this been a normal show, that I'd feel all that much different today about, being excited about 6 hours of Raw. Raw's a flat show right now. There's a poor main event situation that just revolves around the authority figures more than the actual wrestlers or even the championship that the main eventers are feuding over. Coming out of the draft, Raw clearly had more star power. It had more depth. SmackDown continues to be the more entertaining show. And as much as I like to say that the MVP of SmackDown is that lack of a third hour, the creative staff does deserve a lot of credit for making the most out of the talent that they have to work with, getting the most out of them, and really making the most out of every moment of the television show. It's not perfect from start to finish, but everything feels like it has a purpose. There's not just a bunch of filler on the show. They're not just phoning in certain segments or even entire episodes. Again, last night excluded because of the presidential debate, as far as Raw is concerned. But it's just SmackDown is the far superior show right now. And I got to, coming out of it, would be easy right now to go, 3 hours of the pay-per-view, four if you watch the worthless kickoff show like I did, and then, the Raw show on Monday. Boy, I'm just not in the mood for SmackDown tonight. I am. I'm looking forward to the show. I'm burned out on the Raw brand, but looking forward to SmackDown. So at least WWE has that going for it. I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I do. And, one area where Raw had SmackDown beat, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, was that Raw still had that feeling that anything can happen. SmackDown, kind of addressed this nicely by having John Cena show up unadvertised 2 weeks ago, and then they had Dean Ambrose pin John Cena in the surprise match finish last week. And you don't have to, no matter what you think of those moves creatively, you might be opposed to both and think, well, John Cena, if he had been advertised, he might have done a better rating, or Dean Ambrose should not have pinned John Cena. To each his own on that. But I just like that it did make it feel like, wow, this is not a formula show. You got to tune in. You don't know what's going to happen. Now, the other thing, obviously, the show isn't revolving around Shane McMahon, his wife, and the general manager. Shane and Daniel Bryan are playing supporting roles on SmackDown. The wrestlers are the focus, and that's how it should be. And until Vince McMahon and USA Network realize that the McMahons dominating television storylines is not the key to long-term success, or realize that 3-hour Raws are just so damn damaging, I don't see a lot of things changing anytime soon. And I fear it's going to get worse because when Raw numbers go down historically, USA Network has wanted more McMahon family drama. And there have been times where that has definitely been a successful approach. I don't feel like that's the way now. I just feel like people are burned out on, and it may do a short-term little give you a spike. But the more you put focus on them and you fail to build stars in the actual wrestling talent pool, I just think the less likely you are to have long-term success. And so hopefully it's something they're going to think about. Hey, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. I'd really appreciate a 5-star rating, but we'll take whatever you feel we are worth. And it is always appreciated when you help spread the word about this podcast or ProWrestling.net. Give the podcast a quick retweet if you have a chance. You can when we run the link up on the Twitter feed at ProWrestlingNet. A big thanks to everybody who did that on Monday, and thanks to everybody who has done one of those things here since we launched the All Access Daily Podcast. Again, it's always appreciated when you help spread the word about the site. I'm not sure of the host plan for tomorrow just yet. I may be back, but we may have another plan. But I'm sure this will not be the last time you hear from me this week. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. Take care.